And so, Edgar Cayce explained that her soul, her inner self, was being purified by her experiences lifetime after lifetime. Slowly, she was undergoing a transformation. She was changing and growing in her level of awareness, so that someday she would be in perfect harmony with the Creator of the universe. To fulfill that great purpose for life takes time. More time than just 60, 70, or 80 years. The reading explained that her soul was being given many opportunities to learn and grow. Like the cycles of nature, her soul had experienced many earthly deaths and rebirths. But life itself is continuous, and over a series of lifetimes, she was gradually coming into a more enlightened awareness. Edgar Cayce provided her with details about several past lives. One took place in the 19th century during the westward expansion in America. Her soul had lived as a pioneer. Her poems and songs had often lifted the spirits of fellow travelers in those days. She was frequently a strong positive influence for hope to family and companions. Those efforts now had a carryover into the current lifetime. Many of the people who were most helpful to her career as a professional singer were the same souls whom she'd aided in the previous lifetime. Next, Cayce described a lifetime in ancient Greece, in the days when the Roman Empire was expanding. In that period, many Roman leaders were interested in adopting some of the best features of Greek culture. Her soul was born as a Grecian citizen who grew up to be very helpful in this transfer. She had exemplified many of the highest qualities of Greek society and helped the Romans see how they could be applied in Roman culture, qualities such as honesty, purity of purpose, and beauty of the body. Those same qualities were still available in the depths of her soul, and in the current lifetime she could still draw upon them. Finally, Cayce described a third previous experience. It was in ancient times known today only as legend, the period of Atlantis, and the migration of many people to distant places such as Egypt, as Atlantis was destroyed by natural catastrophes. She had played a positive role in the mixing of the Atlantean and Egyptian cultures. Her abilities with speech had made her an effective mediator, and she was especially skilled at bringing beauty into the temple worship. Through these three past life scenarios, Cayce painted a unique portrait of this woman. She was pictured as a soul, a spiritual being on a long adventure. Her journey had been one of many positive efforts. Through a series of lifetimes, she worked and served with a common intention, to help and to bring out the best in others. And now, in the current lifetime, Cayce suggested that same desire was continuing. Her soul came into this life with a plan and a mission to perform. The reading described it as one of helping others to transform and lift their emotions. Through song, beauty, and her loving manner, she could continue the work that she'd begun many centuries ago. Reincarnation made possible that which couldn't be accomplished in a single lifetime. We might well wonder what Edgar Cayce and this young woman thought of the words that came through him on that summer afternoon in 1935. Apparently, the reading struck home for her, because correspondents later suggest that she followed much of the advice in the reading. But what did Edgar Cayce think of this reading, and the hundreds of similar ones he gave? What did he make of the theory of reincarnation? By 1935, he'd gotten used to the idea and accepted it fully in his own thinking. But when it spontaneously came through in one of his readings in 1923, it seemed like a foreign notion to him. He struggled for many years with it. Even as reincarnation was more and more frequently mentioned in his trance readings, he continued to wonder whether or not he could agree with it. A big part of the problem for Edgar Cayce, and for many of us today, related to his traditional religious beliefs. He knew that reincarnation was a part of the Hindu and Buddhist faiths, but nowhere could he find it in the Bible. Could he hold on to his own Judeo-Christian beliefs and still accept reincarnation? Slowly, Cayce came to answer that question, yes. He recognized that there were many truths that are understood in the modern world, but are not found in the Bible. electricity which makes light bulbs function, and the laws of aerodynamics which allow aeroplanes to fly. Jesus said that there were other truths beyond what he had been able to reveal to his followers. Even more importantly, Casey found in the Bible certain principles which are consistent with how reincarnation works. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. This biblical law precisely describes how we are responsible for what we have done in past lives. We are loved by God. This spiritual truth is also highly consistent with reincarnation. Casey began to see that a compassionate God would provide souls with as many chances as they might need in order to follow the path of truth and love. It didn't really seem compatible with the loving God that Casey knew for some souls to be sent to hell forever. But perhaps most important, it was what he observed that caused Casey to change.